B-Pod Studios.
Thanks for starting your day with Toucher and Rich.
Why are you doing this to me?
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's gonna take a lot to take me away from you. There's nothing that 100 men or more could ever do. I bust the reins down in Africa. Gonna take some time to do the things we never had.
Dude, that was my skull.
And now, a feature presentation.
It's Toucher and Rich's Laugh, Dammit.
985, the Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. That was better than Weezer's version. I'm starting to despise that band. All right, here's the deal. That was not the Brad Marchand song that you were listening for. You will listen for him doing Wake Me Up Before You Go Go by the group Wham! With an exclamation point. Mm-hmm. If you're a caller number 63, you'll receive tickets to tonight's Bruins game. And you can gear up for the Stanley Cup Final with Bruins exclusives by stopping by the Boston Pro Shop at TD Garden. Receive 1 hour free parking validation in the North Station Garage with purchase until 5 or online at bostonproshop.com.
Mm-hmm. By the way, I'm hearing that, who is this? There's a, Andy Murray, I guess, got a hip replacement. And when he tweeted out the photo, he's basically got a big picture of his penis out there.
Okay, because there's no way, you have to be at such a resting place. It's got to be shriveled up to such a degree. I don't think anyone takes a picture in that situation where you're proud of it. I mean, you're getting an MRI or an X-ray. I mean, unless you have some extreme radiation fetish, I would assume that it's not the world's greatest thing.
Well, I think what happens
is... Will you just send me pictures of actual penises and not X-rays?
So I can
dive in?
I guess so. And a lot of people like are still kind of on drugs when they tweet it out, so that's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, speaking of things that... Whenever there is a team in a championship run, like, you know, our own Boston Bruins, and then you've got people like St. Louis. Now, the St. Louis Blues, we know that until this series, they have been winless in the Stanley Cup Final, and it has been a long, long time since they had been there. So you got to look, if you're the local news, for all sorts of stories and angles to do it. And what has become the most cliched angle that cities have taken when their team goes to the championship. Now, not Boston, because they've done enough of these where you can't do this story anymore.
No, in Boston, it's illegal. And plus, there's nothing you could do. Like, oh, the revolution.
John, if I had to ask you, what angle do you think the St. Louis News went for when it came to, let's do something surrounding the St. Louis Blues going to possibly win a championship?
Okay, doesn't have to do with that song Gloria, right?
No, it doesn't. Although they've done everything.
I was just going to say.
Gloria.
I mean,
matter of fact, I saw a news report yesterday where they went to the bar owner in Philadelphia, where apparently members of the St. Louis Blues were the first time that they decided that they wanted to play Gloria. And like, it's like, why does this bar owner care? Like, about what St. Louis is doing. It's like, kind of cool that it was here.
Because you make yourself an attraction, and then you get Guy Fieri in there.
$3 wells on Thursday night.
Sure. All right, so the cliched angle is, you know, fans and the little, like, they had the rally pig, that kind of thing.
Yep, but every city's got this. Every city does this.
Except you couldn't if you were the Hurricanes.
You can't do it in Boston. No, you couldn't. Well, you couldn't because of the Hurricanes.
Yeah.
And also, you couldn't do it because it was it's too early in the playoffs.
A team anthem?
Let's stop guessing because you're way off.
Okay.
You trot out an old person.
You bring out the oldest person you can find and say, oh, guess who's about to die?
Okay. Yep.
We're talking about the Cubs now. Yeah, I remember this.
Yeah. Who's about to die?
As much as I dislike the Cubs, at least there were people that were like, 1,000 the last time that
they
won.
And they try to make
this guy's like 50?
Okay, they try to always make this segment. Oh, look at the old guy's about to die.
Okay.
But
62 years old, this gentleman.
And they always try to make it seem lighthearted, but it always comes off wildly depressing.
Yeah, the Blues have only been around for 50 years. How old is this guy?
Well, you're about to find out.
Okay.
You know,
or gal. Oh.
And since and I become an atheist, so I just know that it all ends.
Okay.
You are likely looking at the only Blues fan in the world who has a son who's 81 years old. You see,
he's going to die soon.
I mean, they purposely put the happy music underneath it to make you not, like, get so depressed you want to cry.
Oh. On the race to death, he's about to the finish line. Hey, everybody. This is the only Blues fan you'll find that's about to kick it. And I'll tell you what, 81's no spring chicken either. So we might be looking about, and it might be one of those things where once the dad dies, the son goes too. Grief. Overcome by grief.
Why does everyone do this? Every city does this when a team's about to go to a championship.
Yeah. Because people love old people.
I don't know, man. These stories always kind of creep me out.
Yeah, everyone loves old people. The way that they have old people farts, they just go.
You are likely looking at the only Blues fan in the world who has a son who's 81 years old. You see, Marge Kirkhofer is 100 and pretty passionate when watching.
And her lifestyle is terrible. She's 100. She can't feed herself. Moving in any direction causes strenuous, horrible pain. She's in and out of the hospital, ladies and gentlemen, 100 years young. She had a baby very young, 19?
Yeah.
Yep. You scamp. 19.
What are you doing?
I got a extreme... triple gilf fetish.
Triple gilf?
The odd triple gilf.
Triple G.
The hardest of all erotica to find.
Oh, man.
Is 100 and pretty passionate when watching the Blues.
Oh, my goodness sake. Almost died. But I have to be careful because I am 100 years old.
Yeah, she almost died.
I mean, there's always death jokes in these things, too.
Well, it's you got to have a sense of humor when you know that there's not much time left. I got so excited, I blinked.
I can't just let myself go.
Marge doesn't take off her blue shirt very often during the playoffs.
Because it's nearly impossible.
She moves around quite well, and she lives alone. She gets visits from Visiting Nurse Association of Greater St. Louis through their Visibit program.
You find any of the players handsome?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think Bennington is handsome.
Marge doesn't care how late the games go. She won't go to sleep until after that final horn sounds.
There it goes. There, yeah.
She's waited her whole...
Oh, man.
What excitement emanating from this lovely woman.
Oh.
She's waited her whole life for this moment, which could be coming soon.
So, Marge, what happens if a week and a half from now, the Blues are the Stanley Cup champions?
I hope I'm alive.
I mean...
You guys better hurry.
Stop! Can we just put a national moratorium on doing the whole I'm about to die and I hope I don't before this X team wins? It happens in every city, and we've had like so many of them lately. I mean, I remember it happened with, it didn't happen with the Rams, but no. But it did happen with the Falcons.
A lady comes over and steals. I know she does. I mean, you're stealing from me!
We gotta stop this.
Yeah, she seems like a delightful lass.
She's fine. She seems great.
And she's, living on her own and everything else, but, I mean, when her concern is that she may die before Wednesday... That is a bit of a concern.
This is strange. By the way, I have heard that if, as of right now, I'm not going to say it, I've heard that the city is making all sorts of plans if indeed things go the Bruins' way. But don't listen to the bankroll boys. Don't listen to the bankroll boys.
Yeah, they don't like where it's going.
They don't like where this is
going.
They like
them tonight.
They like them tonight. Mm-hmm.
They don't like where it's going. All right, we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Get the app. Get the Sports Hub. Get Toucher and Rich. Download the Sports Hub app today.
Grizz skated today, red jersey. He's still in protocol. When he gets cleared, he'll be ready to go. Whether that's by tomorrow or not, I can tell you today. Z, facial injury. No update on him. Give you a prognosis on him tomorrow. That's probably the best I can give you right now. Z's not here, didn't skate, so it makes it a little more difficult for him. I've always said that. The guys that are skating are obviously a little closer.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Remember, be listening for Marshan singing Wham's Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go. And if you call number 63, you'll win tickets for tonight's game.
617-931-0985 is that number, by the way.
All right. So Grizzlick had a non-contact jersey on, but he skated yesterday, and then he spoke to the media. So you would assume that he's playing.
He's absolutely playing.
Yeah, I would assume that's the case. Now, the question comes to Chara. And according to Joe McDonald, and we've talked to Jaffe yesterday, and he knows guys that have played with broken jaws, including his buddy JR, Jeremy Roenick.
Right. He mentioned, he said JR more than once.
Yeah.
Which is to drive the point home that he's the man.
That they're buddies.
Yeah. I think I'm more of a friend with him than probably Jaffe is. Yeah, I went ice fishing with the guy.
That's right.
Sure.
And Camphor was asked about it. He said, I've seen Z battle through a lot of things. And knowing what kind of guy he is, I hope he's doing well. I hope he's okay. And we'll see him in game five.
Well, Camphor, the reason they asked him is because him, Torrey Krug, and Achari have all played with broken jaws. But
right. The
difference is they all had at least 3 weeks before they played.
I think he's playing, said one Eastern Conference trainer. I'd be surprised if he doesn't. He can opt, apparently, not to have it wired shut, which would make things a lot more difficult for him if it was wired shut. And if it's not, apparently he can eat and he can communicate, which he cannot do while his jaw is wired shut. And it's difficult, apparently, to get the correct amount of calories that one would need.
Well, also, just think about breathing with your mouth shut, especially in a game as physical and just as exhausting as hockey is.
Yeah, that's what we're saying, is that if his jaw is wired shut, it makes it, like I said, it's difficult to breathe, it's difficult to communicate.
Which brings us to how many defensemen should you dress?
Which is you
even
dress seven.
If Chara is out there.
If Chara is out there, you dress seven defensemen, you put Backes on the ninth floor, and you could even use Chara as the luxury of being on the penalty kill.
And I think that's probably the best idea, because that's where he is most valuable, is there on the penalty kill.
Plus, it limits his minutes. You know how long he's going to be out there for.
I mean, if you want to put him out there for a few shifts, great, to see if he can do it. But you need that safety buffer there. I mean, with Grizzlick in and Chara in, you dress Camphor also, and maybe you have that extra right shot playing on the wrong side, but I would do that. I mean, I know how much Cassidy loves left on left, right on right, but I think at this point, you just put out the best guys possible and you don't try and stick a square peg in a round hole.
Because I even think the absence of Backes helps you in that, listen, you got two or three games left.
Right.
If you're a forward and he can improve your minutes and he can mix things around, I mean, you're playing through that. This is not a time where you rest guys.
I agree.
So I think the absence of Backes helps them in that they can wheel and deal, and it gives Cassidy a little bit more creativity or ability to be creative.
Maybe if you want Charlie Coyle on a wing with that second line, you have that option. You double shift him. He skates in the middle with the third line. You put him on the wing with the second line. He's been your best player. 5-on-5, the top two lines have been awful. So here's your opportunity to jumpstart that line, and you don't have to worry about the defensive at the back end. And, you know, Urho Vaakanainen is skating, but, you know, now's not the time to throw him in there.
And Cassidy basically said he's not going to put him in there. But and what does Backes play, like 8 minutes a game?
Not
7 minutes a game?
No, it's
so it's not like you're losing.
Right.
It's not like you're going to just tire someone out. So, yeah, I would definitely, because every time that they've lost a defenseman, obviously, they've run out of steam. I don't know why. According to everyone we've talked to, defensemen like it better because when there's five defensemen, because it keeps them on their toes. But this, such is the case.
And you know what? There's another point that actually Dan just made, and it's a good one, is that Backus is usually out there, you know, as somebody who's, you know, he's fairly tough and, you know, the leadership and everything like that. But he hasn't stopped anyone from targeting or being more aggressive. I mean, if anything, the Blues are the most aggressive team that we've seen here in the playoffs, and his presence out there hasn't really dulled it or changed it in any sort of way, deterred it.
All right, last four games, time on ice. Ready? Game one, 8 minutes, 50 seconds. Game two, 10 minutes, 5 seconds. Game three, 10 minutes, 21 seconds. Game four, 9 minutes, 9 seconds. I think if you take him off the ice, it's not a big loss.
Well, you know why
anywhere.
You know why game three he had the minutes? Because they were resting everyone.
That's a good point. No, yeah. In the third period, I think you're absolutely right. That would account for the extra 16 seconds he was out there.
Yeah, but, yeah. Which tells a lot.
Just going to say, you're resting everyone, and you're still not giving him a significant bump in playing time.
Yeah, Bergeron didn't play like the last 7.5 minutes of that game.
And still Backus had a hard time finding his way out there.
I mean, he can't. The game is too slow. His game just, as Jaffe put it, say the NHL gets like 0.5% faster every year.
You said 1%.
Or 1% every year. He's losing 1% of his speed, so the game is getting away from him. Not a good sign. How much longer is he signed for?
I think it's two more. I have to check. I know it's at least one more.
No, it's over one more.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I just don't know if he's going to be able to play. Just if he's going to be able to play professional hockey anymore.
I mean, you're stuck with him. It's not like you can say, you know what? We'll buy the rest of you. We'll buy you out. Let's see here. David Backus has two more after this one. It's $6 million a pop. 2 years, $12 million.
With all the good things Sweeney's done.
Yeah, and I brought that question up to Billy while he was here. I mean, Sweeney's paid to see the trends in the game. If he knew the game was getting faster 3 years ago, why did you sign this guy?
Although, I mean, if they win a cup, how can you have a problem with that signing? Because once they inserted him back in the lineup, until this series, they went on a winning streak.
It had nothing to do with him.
I mean, he was part of it.
Just because
whatever it is, the recipe's working.
No, it's not. Backus can't play.
It's despite him, I guess, is the point.
Yeah.
And yeah, he was good for an injection of energy, and clearly he was needed at the time he was put in. But Rich, not just this series. Did he make a big dent in the Carolina series either?
No.
I mean, he wasn't. I don't think he was he wasn't detrimental to the team.
Every line he's been on has disappeared. The second line has done nothing.
Well, the second line, we're going to have Jake DeBrusque on at 9:20, and if you take a look at the numbers for this series, it's pretty wild. And you mentioned the 5-on-5 numbers. I think it's everyone on the first line
and everyone on the second line,
and then there's like two more or something. I believe they're out there that are 0 points for the entire series, but 5-on-5.
Your best six forwards are 0-for 5-on-5 in the first four games. It's a miracle they're tied at two games apiece with those kind of numbers.
Not only is the Backus signing an inexcusable and a disaster, I mean, you're talking about sitting him in game five in order to play seven defensemen. And then you're talking about he's here for two more years at $6 million per. I mean, he's not responsible at all for you being in the playoffs. He's not responsible at all for you being in the finals.
He has 1 point in his last 8 games and has not played more than 12, 20 in any of those 8 games.
Yeah, I mean, it's a massive mistake. If they win the cup, it's despite him. I mean, there's no way to spin it.
You can say he had, when they put him in the series against Toronto, he didn't score a lot, but there was certainly an injection there. He played the last four games of the first round, and he served his purpose. And you just don't change the chemistry, whatever it is, in that case. But you can't sit here and tell me he's been a major impact the last two series.
He's been
had any impact the last two series.
Zero impact in the last two series. And, you know, what did he do that's any different than what Sean Thornton could do?
Well, I mean, do you think that they shouldn't have put Sean Thornton in during the Stanley Cup run? Because I think that everything changed when Sean Thornton went in.
Well, did everything change when Backus went in?
They went on a winning streak.
Oh, Jesus.
And you can't play, and you can't say that he's the reason, but, I mean, the recipe worked. So he wasn't a detriment.
He served his purpose in the Toronto series.
Admit that there were games where there were players who were bigger detriments. That like, you could look at Marchand and go, wow, he was a detriment that game.
That's not any kind of argument.
He was a detriment that game.
That's not any kind of argument. Backes has an inability to be a factor in this series.
And in both of those cases, Rich, you knew if they found it, they would be one of the best players out on the ice. If Backes at his best is a third or fourth line player who's skating on the second line simply because that's where the chemistry was needed. And I looked it up. The one goal, one point he has in the last eight games was a throwaway goal and a blowout win over.
Three lines are ringing. I'm sorry to annoy you with the idea that you would answer the phone.
He's too busy answering the phone.
What's he doing?
Lines.
What is he doing?
He says they're calling for the contest.
Well, just answer it and find out, because they might be calling for this, too. I mean, you don't know if they're calling for the contest. It's two different lines. But
yeah, the line that they're, that he should be answering is not for the contest.
By the way, this is David Krejci talking about his second line, and he knows, and I'm sure Jake DeBrus does, too, and we'll ask him about it, but he obviously knows they need to do better. Oh, Danny, got that? You got to pull up this guy right here? Got it. Okay, here we go.
I think the effort's there, but at the same time, I don't think we work as a unit together. I think we're too spread out. Obviously, I wasn't really happy about the way we played last game, so we have to talk about it, but we have to keep talking about it. But kind of talk is cheap at this time of the year. We have to show it on the ice. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he hasn't been any good either.
Yeah, the one goal Backes has was a throwaway goal to make it 5-0 in a blowout win over Carolina. I mean, it's just, he hasn't been useful. Unfortunately, I mean, he's played a lot of good hockey over his career, but in this case, sitting him down is not a gigantic problem.
Well, I think that he would even realize that because there's desperation and that you may have these two defensemen out. You might have Chara and Grzyk's probably going to play. But if Chara's out, I could see them putting seven in and he would understand that. But for you just to say that this was an awful signing when they're sitting here three games away, you know, in a three-game series for the Stanley Cup, him being a big part of the postseason.
He's not a big part of the postseason.
He's played in most of the postseason.
Oh, my God,
Rich.
Doesn't
make him.
It has nothing to do with anything.
How do you know that?
Because I watch the games. Because I watch him. And also, by the way, he signed for two more years at $6 million per, which is going to be a total wash.
All right.
Just because this team. Name someone from the Red Sox last season. Name some jabroni from the Red Sox.
Oh, there are dozens of them. Matt Barnes, any of the middle relievers. Tyler Thornburg.
Okay, Tyler Thornburg. Is he the reason that they won the championship?
Is Tyler Thornburg known as a leader in the locker room like David Backes is?
Oh, my God,
is that
Rich,
part of it, too?
They have plenty of leadership in that locker room.
Well, that was one of the justifications when they signed him.
Yeah, because they thought he could play.
I know. And you look at the back end of this contract, and you look at the massive amounts of money that McAvoy is going to demand and Carlo is going to demand. I mean, they could sure use that $6 million to go somewhere else each year.
I mean, I can't believe you're defending it in saying that because they're in the Stanley Cup Finals.
Signing. It's not an awful signing.
It's the definition of a terrible signing. It could not be worse.
No, a terrible signing is getting someone like Kyrie Irving to come in and completely screw up the chemistry of your team. That's what it is.
That's a star player who put up numbers but was horrible for chemistry.
He was a second team All NBA.
Second team All NBA player again. I don't think you can make that comparison.
I think that you have a guy right now. Everything in this team right now has led you to a 2-2 tie in the
Jesus
Stanley Cup final.
I don't think Backes has a lot to do with that.
It's an argument I can't believe you're making, quite frankly.
You're saying he's a detriment to this team.
Yes.
All right.
I'm not saying
I'm looking at a team right now that's
detriment, but I am saying he's certainly not a positive. I won't go that far. I don't think he's a detriment.
Well, because he doesn't play, and he takes $6 million of cap space, which they could have used to do something else.
He does play. He does play.
Not
a
lot.
He plays nine minutes a night.
He plays. I haven't looked at it, but I would bet he's got the lowest time on ice of any of the 12 forwards.
Yes, absolutely. So he's got the lowest time of ice of anyone per game of anyone on the team.
And he's not a detriment.
Oh, Jesus, Rich. Fine.
As I said, that part of Rich's argument I would agree with, but he's not a positive either. At the very
he's making $6 million a year.
At the very most, he's a wash.
All right.
And he's making a lot of money.
Yeah. I mean, league. Is it a detriment that they could have used $6 million in the offseason and signed someone who could actually play NHL hockey?
What? This past offseason?
Yes.
Well, have they gotten further where they are now? Now that's ridiculous.
Oh, Jesus, Rich.
Honestly, so they would have signed someone and you think they would have done better than they are now?
They could have stretched this window out, yes.
And a three-game chance of winning the Stanley Cup.
You think
that if they would have signed somebody else, they would have done better than that? They would have won it in four.
Probably, maybe. I mean, it wouldn't have hurt.
No, I'm kind of this part of the argument I agree with Rich on as well. I don't think.
Okay, so you gave $6 million to Beckett because it doesn't hurt you.
No, I agree the contract
is not good. He deserves $6 million this year.
No, he does not. He does not.
Because the team did well, just because.
No, what you said was that they could have used that money to get somebody to have them do better this year than they are now.
This season, because they are 2 wins away from winning the whole thing, I don't think you can make that argument. But overall, the contract is bad.
Oh, if they got someone who was better, it would have hurt them?
No.
You think it would have been better? You think they would have won it in four? They would have won it in five?
Back is going to be on the ninth floor tonight, and he was on the ninth floor during the Toronto series.
Early in the Toronto series,
and he's on a line that's done nothing.
How would it make them better?
If they didn't have him, they wouldn't have to spend $6 million bucks on him.
But
he doesn't play. I'll take phone calls. I'll take phone calls all day. This is the dumbest conversation I've ever had.
Let's do that. Five calls says it all. Let's go.
No, I'm not doing that. I want people to explain themselves.
Okay.
All right, here are the headlines.
98.5 The Sports.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Sports Hub. Watch Toucher and Rich on Twitch. Follow the Sports Hub on twitch.tv for live shows and reruns. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Never gonna give you up. Never gonna let you down. Never gonna run around and desert you. Never gonna make you cry. Never gonna say goodbye. Never gonna tell a lie and hurt you.
Dude, that was my skull.
All right, again, that is not the song you'll be listening to or listening for. When you hear Brad Marchand sing Wham's seminal hit, Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go, in your caller number 63, you'll be attending tonight's game. This has already got Bird in a tizzy.
Yeah, Dan just said Bird just got Rickrolled.
He thought that was the song. Completely got Rickrolled on that. I'm like, no, we're listening for Wham, Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go.
He had turned off the ringer before when we were arguing.
That's not good.
He was leaning back in his chair on his own phone. All right, so I'm running out of steam on this during the commercial. I kind of stopped caring. But the argument is David Backus, was it a bad signing? Rich says, well, look at where they are in the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, my argument was just that you said they shouldn't have signed David Backus, and I'm saying that they're sitting here 2 wins away from winning the Stanley Cup. And I think that makes the argument somewhat crazy.
he's worth six. He's getting paid $6 million. Well,
take away the money, because the money doesn't really matter this past offseason.
Well, he's last in the team in the postseason time on ice. By a lot, by almost a minute, and behind Coleman. So, I mean, he's not playing. All right, Bill, go ahead.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey.
Rich, I love you. You're very funny. You're very smart. But you are never right in these arguments, man. And it sucks, because I like you way better than Toucher. But you argue so it's so frustrating to listen to you argue, dude.
All right, convince me the other way. Convince me the other way, then.
I'm talking in the macro here, okay? Because I don't even remember what you just talked about. I'm just saying you give ultimatums, you deflect, you move the goalpost. Fred will say something. You'll say, well, it's the recipe, which is nothing. That means nothing. It's so frustrating to listen to, dude. It's like arguing with a chick. I get triggered every time I hear it. I love you, dude. But take care, man.
What's so wrong with me, Bill?
That's what you took out of there? Despite the fact that he was on your side and found Rich frustrating, you took that one
sentence. Go out of his way to see.
How am I arguing like a chick? I'm just going to sit here and stew.
Andrew, go ahead.
I'm going to shut down and not say another word.
I've done that before. Andrew, go ahead.
Usually I side with Rich on most things, but I can't say you're any more wrong than you've been doing with this argument. That $6 million could be used to find just maybe one person who could get us, instead of being 2-2, 3-1, that extra goal.
Stop! Who would you have gotten that would have got them better than 2 wins away from a Stanley Cup? Who could you have gotten?
$6 million is huge. I don't have the list in front of me, but I'm sure you can find.
You guys are nuts. They're sitting here and they've only got to win two more games.
Don't argue. That part of the argument, I think Rich is closer to right than wrong.
That's the worst argument.
Everything else is wrong. They could have used that $6
million to do better than two wins away from the Stanley Cup.
That part of it is
nuts. You can say they overpaid. Absolutely.
No, they shouldn't have signed him at all. They should not have signed him at all. Let alone, they shouldn't have signed him for $500,000.
The worst part of the contract is now, because you have defensemen that are going to make a boatload of cash. You're probably not going to be able to bring back Torey Krug, and you need to find a huge deal for Charlie McAvoy. And right now, that $6 million bucks is preventing you from making the sizable offer that you would need.
Yeah, and let's put it this way: Krug's not buying a house.
I mean, Krug's gone. I think we all know that. Especially after this series.
Yeah, but if you look at it, can you afford to lose Krug? I mean, this $6 million means an awful lot. Frank, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Hey.
Hey.
Yeah, Fred, you couldn't be more right. I mean, if you watch this series, David Backes is an absolute shell of himself. I mean, you watch what St. Louis is doing against this guy. They clearly have the blueprint how to get under his skin. I mean, he wanted to try to move the needle and tell, you know, that other room that, hey, you know, we're coming for you. Well, that was the worst mistake Davis Backes could have made, because you could just tell. After every whistle, they get right under his skin, they put their gloves right in his face, and you know what he does about it? Nothing. He just pushes right back.
Well, Frank, I think there's two different arguments. You're making a different one. You're saying that, has he been bad in the series? And I agree, he's been bad, and I think they probably should bench him. But the argument Fred's making is that they shouldn't have signed him.
Yes.
And what a lot of people are forgetting about is what happened in Toronto. Do you remember? They were down 2-1, and then when they put Backes in, John, I think you glossed over how important he was to that series.
I said he served his purpose in the Toronto series.
So in game four, he came back. I looked it up. So he had an assist on Sean Corrali's goal to make it 3-1 in the third period. That's not garbage time. In game five, Backes had another assist. And in game six, he scored his first playoff goal, in which they closed it out. You remember, they were down 2-1 at that time before they put him in.
The one point he has changed. In the last two series, he has 1 point, and it was a throwaway goal at the end of a blowout win over Carolina.
But he served his purpose in the playoffs. Do we agree? Did he do something to help this team during the Stanley Cup playoffs?
No, they could have done it without
him. Now, this series, I agree. No. I think tonight you put in your seven signing.
It was an awful signing. It was a terrible signing. Absolutely. I'll take John. Take a little pressure off the Richard.
Okay.
Go ahead, John.
I was going to say, I mean, he wasn't a bad signing at the time, but since he had his, you know, surgery, he's been bad.
Oh, please. And he was bad the minute they got him. I mean, come on. He's last in the team in ice time. And for as big and tough as he is, he's got 2 penalty minutes. I mean, for big bad Backes, let's go to Nick. Go ahead, Nick.
Hey, yeah, so I was wondering, Rich, you think that Rich Peverly was a good signing, his last contract?
I don't even remember. I don't even remember. I mean, how much did they spend on Peverly again?
No, not much, but the point is he's still on the books this year. So, I mean, like, would you equate him being on the books to our success in being
Oh, come on. He's not playing.
Right, let's not go crazy.
That's stupid. That's a bad argument.
Backes is on the roster. Doesn't mean that.
Backes has played. Backes influenced the game. I mean, Backes was a positive in the Toronto series. What are we doing here?
They're paying a guy.
Oh, my God. People are losing their minds.
They're paying a guy $6 million who should be, and you're giving him a round of applause because he scored a goal.
Stop using the money.
You cannot use the money. The money is a huge factor in this.
Okay. Did he help you win the Toronto series?
I mean, he had a minor part in it.
You know, not a minor part. There's a reason that he was injected back in the lineup.
5 points in the postseason.
Okay, but during one series, did he help them win the Toronto series?
Things did change a little bit here. This is where, again, I separate from you.
Cassidy will even say that.
If you got Cassidy and you gave him truth serum, you would wish that Backes wasn't on this team.
Then why did he put him back into the lineup?
Who did he replace in the Toronto series?
I don't even remember. How about that?
Yeah. But, you know why?
But
because he replaced Jabroni Von Jabroni.
He specifically placed him in.
He put him. You know who he replaced? The guy who's probably making the league minimum.
Actually, it was Coleman. if I remember right.
Well, I think it was Coleman.
They had Coleman in the lineup.
You got him out.
They took Coleman out and put Backus in.
Oh, wow. Backus, the hero of the day.
For you saying that he put him in because he had to, he put him in specifically to change the tone of that series.
Yes, and he changed the tone of the series to the amount of 5 points. And three assists.
Yes, that's a big deal, dude.
No, it's not.
That's a big deal during that series.
No, he's not. He is a horrible, horrible signing.
I just read you what he did in the Toronto series. And yes, for you to say that it didn't affect it is
crazy. He had one game where he did something.
One series.
No, it wasn't one series.
I just said it. Game four, he had an assist on Sean Crowley's girl that made it 3-1 in the third period.
Wow, he had an assist. Congratulations.
Okay, and game five, he had another assist.
Oh, my God.
In game six, he scored a goal as well.
Whoa.
That's three games
this
in a row.
Crazy. He had two assists in a series?
Two assists and a goal. Yes. Yes, he did. Why are you like writing that off? Marchand and all these guys. I mean, these guys, everyone's having problems scoring or doing anything right now other than the fourth line.
Sean Corrali has 9 assists. Connor Clifton has 5. Yes. They've been awesome. Yeah, Connor Clifton's the best thing.
Are you writing off Clifton?
Keep moving the goalposts, Rich. Keep moving him around.
Moving the goalposts. What are you talking about? He said that he wasn't effective at all. Like, he's writing off 2 assists and a goal in 3 games in a row.
It was such a bad signing that it's unbelievable.
By the way, Rich Peverly, 3 years at an average of $3.25 million, and that contract was over in 2014. I don't know what the caller was talking about.
What the hell is he talking about?
Is he still on the books? That's
by the way,
asinine.
That was a bad signing, too, because that's when Shirelli went all in on that fourth line.
On the third line, right, he could re-sign Chris Kelly, brought Peverly back, Paye back, he brought them all back.
And he paid them all.
And that crushed the cap. I remember that.
All right, Brendan, go ahead.
What's going on, guys? The only bad money on the books this year is Matt Bellessi's $2 million of dead money on the
that's
books.
True.
That's a bad signing.
They're both bad signings, but yes, Bellessi was a terrible one.
Rich, keep digging your heels in, my friend, because you are 100% right. Fred, you're clearly not watching hockey, because I don't know if you remember that Columbus Blue Jackets series. As soon as David Backus was inserted into that series, that whole series turned around. We were in a dogfight.
What did he do?
What did he do? He had 3 assists, I believe, and a goal in that series.
No, he didn't. He didn't have 3 assists or a goal. In fact, in that Columbus series, he didn't have an assist. Goodbye.
Oh, that's a...
He has 3 assists for the playoffs. Rich just told us he had 2 assists in the Toronto series.
2 assists and a goal.
Yeah. Okay, so he's had...
And he didn't play 2 of those games. So I would say that that's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, you know why he didn't play 2 of those games? It's because he's terrible.
And guess what they did? They lost those games. And then they put him back in, and the games he was in, they won.
That's right. He was the difference. He's a difference
Cassidy
maker.
Said so. Don't take my word for it. Take Cassidy's word for it.
Who did he replace again in the lineup?
He replaced...
Jabroni Stein. What was his name? He replaced Coleman, but you called him who? Who'd you call him?
Jabroni von Jabronenstein.
Right.
It's like, wow, he had... You should have seen him in the Columbus series. You're clearly not watching the games. Yes, it was Backus everywhere.
There's nothing more elitist than hockey fans who call in and say, you're not watching the game. You don't know what you're talking about.
I've missed everything.
I love hockey fans when they do that.
You know what? Maybe I was taking a dump every time he was on the ice because he's on the ice.
You don't know anything about the game. What's wrong with you?
Actually, he did really well during the Columbus series.
How is that possible? He has 2 goals and 3
assists.
You're
looking at wrong stats then, Fred.
Player skating stats.
Uh-oh. He scored a goal in the game in game 6, the game winning goal, or the 3-0. The final goal in game 6.
The empty netter.
He scored an empty netter. Congratulations.
He also registered points in each of the 3 games after Bruce Cassidy called him in Columbus. You're looking at the wrong stats, dude.
No, I'm not. I'm looking at the right stats. So you're telling me that Torrey Krug has more than 14 assists in 16 points?
You're looking at the wrong Backus stats.
I have the whole team stats right in front of me.
I'm right now looking at an article that Joe Haggerty wrote called Credit Backus for Making a Big Impact in Brewery Series Against Columbus.
He has played 15 games. He has 2 goals, 3 assists, 5 points.
Can I just read you the first 2 paragraphs here?
Go.
David Backus showed in his second round series against Columbus Blue Jackets he could still be a big factor for the Bruins, even at 34 years old. It was Backus who injected into the lineup of game 4 with the Bruins down 2-1 in a best-of-7 series to Columbus, who helped push the Bees to 3 straight wins to close out the Blue Jackets while punching their ticket for the Eastern Conference Final. And then it says that's the same Backus who scored the 3rd goal in Boston's 3-0 win over the Blue Jackets to eliminate them in Game 6, and the same Backus who registered points in each of the 3 games after Bruce Cassidy called his number against Columbus.
All right, he has 5 points.
Jesus, Fred, that's in that series. And I gave you the two assists and a goal in the Toronto series.
Hold on. In the Toronto series, I'm looking at it, and he had a point in his first game but went without points in each of the last three games of the Toronto series.
Okay, so fair enough. I'm right.
He has two goals and three assists for the playoffs. He had point in four games against Toronto. Rich, you're right against the
Columbus series.
Yeah. And he had a goal and two assists and a point in each game. And in the last eight games, he has 1 point, which was a throwaway goal against Carolina.
Fine, you got the series mixed up. You got Toronto and Columbus mixed up. Regardless, my stats are absolutely correct. All right, be listening out.
Eat it.
Yeah, that's right, eat it. All right, so we'll see. Maybe he'll,
that was fun.
Maybe he'll like eat all the popcorn on the ninth
floor. Have DeBrusque on at 9:20. Let's continue this.
Yeah, he'll be really open about it. All right, be listening for Brad Marchand.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.